Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Joel.
Good morning. Good morning. I don't know why the pastor gave me this passage. I would have loved to have the next passage. The one coming up is wonderful. This is too. But I want to say something. Then we'll pray. One concern I have, if you saw something there, it said what? Be done with what? Sin. Any of you done with sin? I hear some laughing out there. The biggest concern I have about this is a lot of times we as Christians tend to be Christian moralists. That means what we do is we go out and work harder at it, right? So I become a better person. This isn't talking about being a better person. And if that comes across today, I pray it doesn't. Because I'm careful. The other thing is, a lot of times we make it out so light and easy. Just confess your sins and walk away. I don't know about you, but that doesn't work with me. Does it work with you? How do we live this passage out? Well, let's pray and ask God to show us. We'll see where God leads us. Father God, we want to thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we know that there's nothing here that your spirit hasn't inspired. This is your word to us today. And Father, I would pray specifically that you would give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to want to deal with your truth. Father, I pray that you'd guide my words, guard my words, so that they would not lead anybody astray here, but help each one of us to walk closer with you. Through Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you're going to do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. How much cancer do you want in your body? Zero. Why? Because it destroys us, right? I've had the privilege, I guess. If we're looking from God's side, it's privilege. I had the privilege twice to be told I had cancer. Both times I did whatever it took to get it out of my body. The last time was just 2 years ago, and immediately I said to Cheryl and my daughters and said, hey, what do you want? And they said, out of there. No other treatment. Get it out. So that's what we did. So how much sin is good to have in our life?
Zero.
But are we willing to work as hard at getting it out? Are we intentional about dealing with that? And I think that's what this passage brings out. As we look at this passage, and you may want to open your Bible because we're going to be working back and forth, and we're going to bring another. But the thing it says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their lives for evil desires, but rather for the will of God. As we look at this passage today, I want to deal with three things. Are we ready to deal with sin? Are we willing to deal with sin? And then how do we do it? And that's maybe the harder part. You see there, the first word there in verse 4, chapter 4 is what? Why is it therefore? No, seriously. I think too often we don't look back and we just look this in. Well, it's therefore. Go back to 3:18. In 18 it says, "For Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He has put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit." I think as we start to look at being ready, we have to know and live out full assurance of our forgiveness. We have to go back to the therefore. What did Christ do? And this is what that's built on for. It says that he suffered in his once and for all for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. What does that look like, folks? Do we understand that Christ died for how much of our sin? I'm not sure you're sure of that. Past, present, and what? All of us sin. Christ took our sin on. It says the righteous for the unrighteous. He made a great, what I call the great exchange. He gave us his righteousness for our sinfulness, right? And it says in Romans that when we are baptized, it's like we're united with him in his death so that we come up as righteousness in Christ. That means then that there's no more debt, right? Do you understand debt? We just remodeled our house, put some new windows in it. Yes, Friday they talked to me and told me the debt that I have to pay back. You know, and they worked out all the details. I wonder how many of us are still holding on to our sin like it's debt and we're paying interest on it. That's not what this says. This says that Christ died once for all. Look at the passage in Colossians 3:13. "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all," there's the all word again, "our sins, having canceled the charge of your legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them all, triumphing over them by the cross." Did you hear that? Again, all your sins are forgiven. All your debt is canceled. He took away what? All of our sins and our condemnation. Oh. Then why do we condemn ourselves? Why do we go around and say, "I'm a sinner, I'm no good, I'm nothing"? You're special because Christ died for you, right? You are a saint because he has raised you up and set you apart and separated you, set you apart for his service. So you're special. Would Christ die for something worthless? Huh? Not really. So we start to see that then our debt is paid in full. He also says in that he disarmed the powers of sin in our life. I'm not sure I like that part. You know what that means? I don't have to sin anymore. When my debt is paid in full and I'm fully forgiven, I don't have to sin anymore. Then my sin is what? Willful disobedience. It's kind of ugly. But if we really grasp the truth of we are fully forgiven and our debt is paid in full, how should we live? How should that affect? This is not a rhetorical question. How should you live? If you understand that you have come to Jesus Christ, you've asked him to forgive you, you're a follower of Christ, how should you live if your debt is fully paid and you're free from sin? Confidence. There should be a confidence in you. What else? Joyfully. What else? Humble. Pardon? Humble. Good. What else? You're going to have to speak up because I have an extra noise here and I'm over 29. What else? In the will of God. What else? How about if I don't have condemnation and I'm struggling with a sin and I'm really close with a brother or sister in Christ, I should be able to be what? Authentic. Is that right? Because guess what? You probably haven't done too many more sins than I've done. You might have twisted them a little different. But let's be honest. Why do we walk around here, we struggle and stuff, and we walk around defeated? We need to realize what? The debt is paid in full. We have confident assurance that we're forgiven. Right? So if we really start to understand that, then we can have a way to deal with sin. Because we start to realize that we can be victorious through the Holy Spirit. There's no shame. You've been at services where there was shame put out, haven't you? It's not about shame. It's about God doing a transforming work in our life so that we see our sin and then we can come realizing we've been forgiven. Now, how do we deal with that so that we can walk in a way that's victorious and we are in joy following the Spirit? So how do we do that? Look at the next part of that verse. It says we need to be willing. We need to have the same attitude that Jesus did towards sin. Look at 4:1-2. We'll read it again. Since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself with what? The same attitude. The same attitude of who? Jesus' attitude. Because whoever suffers in his body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their lives to their earthly lives for evil desires, but rather for the will of God. For you've spent enough time in the past doing what was pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. If we understand that we are fully forgiven, the next thing, are we willing to take on Christ's attitude? What was Christ's attitude? Let's think about it a minute. Did Christ want to die for our sins? Yes and no. Because what did he say at Gethsemane? He said, Father, if there's any way that you can do this a different way, please do it. But then what was the next word? Not my will, but your will. See the willingness. See, if we want to deal with sin and live victorious as we're called to, there has to be a will to. We have to have our want to's changed. Because unless we want to, we're not going to. Another thing about Jesus, and you start the attitude of Jesus, Jesus always called sin what? Sin. Cheryl and I are having the privilege right now of going through The Chosen, and it's fun. We're in the third series. We're sitting down and blowing it through. And just to see how he shared so clearly and to see how it hit people because they could see their sinfulness. Jesus didn't make it light. He called it as it was. And if we're willing, we have to first have the desire to not my will, but to please God. But the second is to call sin, sin. I have a book here. I won't give it to you today, but it's a great read. It stinks. The Respectable Sins by Jerry Bridges. You want to hear what they are? You won't like this at all. Here they are. How about ungodliness, anxiety and frustration, discontentment, unthankfulness, pride, selfishness, lack of self-control, impatience, irritability, anger. I'm just that way. No, anger is not that just that way. That's a respectable sin. And then he goes into judgmentalism. Ooh. I represent that. Envy, jealousy, and related sins, the sins of the tongue, worldliness. And you know what? In the church, a lot of times we do what? Those are all right. Oh, he didn't put in here gossip. Well, he'd be in there under the tongue, gossip and slander. Jesus calls those what? Sin. But we're forgiven. So why don't we live in it? Why don't we be done with this stuff? It's because I think a lot of times we're not sure exactly how to do that. But the other part is, I know for myself, it's taken me a long time. I used to, when God would say, Dan, he confront me on a sin, you know what I'd do? I'd say, okay, God, I'll take care of that. Did you hear what I said? I'll take care of that. I can't take care of that. And then I'd go in my little way and I'd be feeling bad because the next week I'd do it again and I'd do it again. And I didn't come back to where I had to deal with that sin. And finally, when I'd come and say, okay, God, I want you to work it out in me and give me victory in the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, I started to have victory. I had to be intentional, and I'll share with it a little later. But the fact is, I think too often we have just kind of done it our own way. And we don't get victory. I don't know about you. I get to the place where I start to beat myself up. So what Jesus did, his attitude, no matter what the cost, he was willing to pay the price. He suffered in his body. His goal was to please the Father and his Savior God. Not my will. In fact, the Bible tells us to do what? Crucify our old self, right? Take up your cross daily. Why? So we can deal with our sin. So how do we do it? How do we deal with my sin? 1 Peter 4:1 says, you're done with your sin. Now, that's not saying that we're sinless. Okay? There is teaching out there that says we can be sinless. I have not met that person. I was talking to my father-in-law about it, and I said, boy, that's one of the stupidest teachings there is. And he says, be careful, Dan. That's what we teach at our church. I said, because there are people who teach that we can be perfectly, we can be have sinless perfection. I don't think. What I see is that it's a growing process. As the Holy Spirit deals in us, we become sanctified, we become more Christ-like, we deal with our sin, and again, we deal with it at the speed that the Holy Spirit shows it to us. And so, how do we deal with our sin? First of all, we have to want to be done with our sin. We have to want that. Do you? Do you want to be in that close relationship with your father? My dad and I had a great relationship. In fact, my dad, he could walk in right now and say, Dan, quit, and I'd stop the sermon right now. I'd have to rethink to go ahead. That's a relationship we had. He wouldn't have done that. He's a godly man. But the fact is, just that's that relationship. Do we want that? But, you know, if I was out doing something on an evening, the next day you came home, you kind of wanted to stay a little bit away from Dad, right? Or if you knew you didn't do what he asked you to and you kind of short cut corners, you wanted to be away from him. And that's what sin does to us. Do you want to be close to your Father, God? Or do you want to always be not sure where you want to be? If we deal with our sin, we can be always close with our Father, Heavenly Father, always. But how do we deal with our sin? Well, I know a lot of people say, well, you sin, you confess, and then you go on. You know what that causes? The cycle of sin, confess. What do you do next? Sin, confess. Sin, confess. Any of you have that trouble? Don't raise your hand. That is a rhetorical question. So, but what does sin do? When we confess our sin, what are we doing? We're saying, yes, that is sin. Yes, I did the sin. That's all confession is. Confession is not a change of heart. Confession is an admission that I've done the sin. And it's calling sin, sin. And we realize that God has dealt with that, but we also realize that we have not. So then we need to go to repentance. How do you define repentance? Question. How would you define repentance? Turn. Turn, well, more than that. In this case, it's turning back to God. So it's turning from the way you're going and turning back. But how do we do that? How do you do that? Because if we're not going to repent, if we're just going to confess our sins, we're not going to be done with sin. If we confess our sins and repent, I think we can come to the place where we see victory in our sin areas. Look with me at Romans 6. And you could read the whole passage. I could take time, but I'm not going to take time right now. We'd be further, take longer than we probably want to. But Romans 6, starting with verse 11. Because this is where Paul is teaching the same thing in a different way. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master because you're not under the law, but under grace. I think one part of repentance is, how do we turn back? First of all, we count ourselves what? Dead to sin. The first thing is realizing that our sin separates us from God, but we say, we don't have to sin. Father, I'm coming back to you, and I don't want to live in this sin because I intentionally, in my mind, am going to deal with it. I count myself dead to that. That didn't say it's I am dead. Did you notice that? It said count yourself dead. So that's an intentional thought process every time. Secondly, he brings out there what? Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. In other words, if you have a sin area, you need to be dealing with it, folks. I'll share one of mine. You know, he talked about it there. I was raised in a family that had a gift of critical judgmentalism. Any of you have that? I wasn't asking for hands, but thank you, sister. I had the gift. I can be critical of anything. Is that godly? Is that a sin? And many times I've had to deal with that. So what I had to do is I had to realize that judgmentalism and criticism is a sin. I had to learn one other thing too. The judgmentalism part was a deal underneath. As I'm dealing with the sin, I started to realize, why are you judgmental, Moose? Well, because you're not sure of who you are in Christ. You're not sure of your identity in Christ. You're not sure that you're forgiven because I have to look better than you. And that's why I criticize or judge you. And so when I started to deal with that, the Holy Spirit started that work in me. And it came back to what? I'm fully forgiven. And being fully forgiven, I'm right with Jesus. Being fully forgiven, I'm a joint heir with Christ. Being fully forgiven, I have the Holy Spirit living in me. Is that right? Same for you, right? If you're in Christ, you have the same. That's not all. It says here, then it goes on a little further. He says, don't let sin reign. I had to make a decision of my will to say, I'm not going to do that. I have a little thing that if you've been around me, you may have seen it. You may see me at times say what? Shut up, Moose. Literally, I'll speak it out loud. Shut up, Moose. Do you know what's usually happening then? At that point there, I have made the decision that I was going to say a critical or judgmental statement. And I have to verbally say to myself, shut up, Moose. Now, you don't go around saying, shut up, Moose. Put your own name in there if you got to put a name in there. But figure out, see, do you see what I mean by that we're not going to let it rain? We're saying that I'm not going to let that happen. And that's an intentional decision in the power of the Spirit. The reason I tell that story is I went back to the last church. the parents, I had a youth group that I was leading. The parents came one day and they said, my kid was at the dinner table and he went to say something. He said, shut up, Moose. And really what he did, he was just catching himself. So he didn't do it. But it's a decision we have to make. Because if we're saying that we're not going to let it rain in our lives, then we have to, in the power of Spirit, say, we got to call it stops. Does that make me perfect? No, I still struggle with, I know I have a tendency to be judgmental. But the majority of the time, I have victory over it. And then there's a time where I start to slip, shut up, Moose. And I can lean back on who I am in Christ. You see, one other thing he said there in Romans 6, too. He said also, offer each part of your life to God. How do you offer your tongue to God? How do you offer your mind to God? How do you offer that thought to God? How do you offer this desire that you're struggling with to God? That's what he's telling us to do, right? And he's saying, offer to God so it can become what? An instrument of righteousness. How does my tongue become an instrument of righteousness? Instead of judging you, I need to seriously think through how to encourage you, right? Instead of condemning you, I need to think of a way to raise you up in Christ. Instead of being angry, I need to deal with, and I thank God that that's not my main sin. Instead of being angry, I need to realize what causes my anger and then realize how to respond to you in an encouraging way. In the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't do any of this on my own. And that's the beauty of this. This passage here sets you up so you can really walk in the Holy Spirit. Next passage, whoever gets to preach next week that I wanted. But the fact is, you start to see that we need to deal with our sin. And we need to offer each part of our body and our lives to God so that sin will not master. That's repenting. Confessing, yes, I sin, but repenting, then I count it not as I count myself dead to sin. I don't let that sin reign in me, and I tell you, I'm coming back, God. I'm coming back, and we're working together. And I reach out and let him take a hold of my hand and let him lead me. Now here's the hard question. You already know the answer to this one. This is rhetorical, not out loud. What's the sin right now that the Holy Spirit's tapping you about? What sin are you struggling with and you're letting reign in your life? You may be here and don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so you have this sin of unbelief. And Jesus wants to say, hey, come home. Or you may have been a believer since I was 11, so that's 61 years, like myself. And you're still growing, but you have those areas that he keeps pointing out. Let you in a secret. He's still showing me areas 61 years later. That may mean I'm a slow learner. But I think the other part of it is he hasn't quit yet. God wants to develop me into the person that he wants so that I can be useful for the kingdom to live with him forever. Do you know what? He wants the same for you and you and you, all of you, right? So what area is God dealing with? It may be spiritual laziness. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm pointing out, what God's pointing out. I'm not pointing out. God's pointing out. As we close, a couple thoughts to ponder. Have you personally received God's forgiveness for all your sins through Jesus Christ? If there's anybody here that hasn't, someone would like to talk to you today. We'd love to talk to you. But if you have and you're a follower of Christ, here's the question I really want to answer. The second one, how are you personally living out the confident assurance of your forgiveness daily? That your debt's paid in full. What's that look like in your life? It should make you so you're not walking around grumpy, defeated, and downcast. That's not saying we don't have bad days. But what that is saying is, I realize before my God, I am forgiven. I have a grandson who's almost 2. And Odie, he knows he doesn't have to talk. And he knows exactly what you asked him. His grandmother walked up to him there and said, Oma. He said, no. He knew what he was saying. But the beautiful thing about Odie is, if he walked into his room, he says, Papa, and he comes running like this. Folks, do you see what just happens there? That's what our Father wants too, right? Our Father in heaven. And if we're beat up and we don't realize that we're living in the forgiveness of our sin and we have that assurance, we don't go, Papa. We come in, right? You know what I'm talking about. God hasn't saved us for that. God saved us for this. I saw a slide the other day and they said, what's the beauty of a kid reaching up to you like this? It's exactly what our Heavenly Father wants us to worship Him with hands lifted up and saying, Father. Third thing to ponder. What is your attitude towards your personal sin? Has God been warning you about a sin and dealing with you with a sin that you just keep, okay, I'll take care of it, okay, I'll take care of it, I'll take care of it. Can I let you in a secret? When you accepted Jesus Christ, what did you say? You probably said something like this, I want to follow you and I'll do whatever you want me to do, I'm yours, right? Well, you just signed a contract that you're His child, and so you want Him to help you become all that He wants you to be, right? If God continues to point out something in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're just ignoring it, guess what? He will deal with it. You can either deal with it as you humble yourself and Him changing that, or you can fight Him, and guess who will win? That's a question. Guess who will win? God. And you know what? He says if we humble ourselves, He'll raise us up. But what does He say about the arrogant? He'll bring low. And see, when God is showing us through the power of His Spirit our sin, and we fight Him, we're becoming arrogant. And we become arrogant, then we're fighting God. And when God warns us about a sin in our life, we need to realize that's a sin that put Christ where? On the cross. Why would we want to hang on to something that put Christ on the cross? Then, and lastly, what steps do you need to take to deal with your sin in your life in the power of the Holy Spirit? If we understand and we have an assurance, you can come to Him and He wants to deal with it. If you're struggling with something, go to a brother or sister in Christ. We're not there to condemn you. We're there to walk with you. Because He wants to bring that change in your life. Christ says in John 10:10, I believe, I came to give you what? Life and how? More abundantly. He wants to give us the best life. He's not here to beat us up. He's here to free us up so we can be all that we can be in Jesus Christ. And that's why He put His Holy Spirit in us to live in us. Let's humbly come before God and take a few moments right now as we close in prayer and let God speak to your heart, because He wants to make you all that you can be, the person He created you to be in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank You for the salvation that You've given us. We want to thank You for the forgiveness that You've given us. We want to thank You for how You have given us the privilege to walk in freedom, in newness of life, and in victory over sin. Father, You know each one, each individual here. You know their lives. You know what we're struggling with, what we have. Maybe some of us have pushed it down so far we're not even thinking about it right now. And right now Your Spirit's just bringing it up to surface again. Father, I pray that You'd work in my brothers and sisters in Christ and help them to be able to not only confess their sins, but to repent and come to You wholeheartedly and then walk in You as they determine to walk out their repentance. Help us each one to live that repentant life out day by day. Lead us, Lord, because we want to be pleasing to You so that You can work in us, work through us in the power of Your Spirit to change this world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go to the next verse there, and I don't have it, but if you go to verse 7 in 1 Peter 4, there's a therefore there. And it's talking about being in the Spirit. It's therefore, he says, since you are living, the sin is done. Therefore, now the Spirit can do what? Work through you. Blessings.